Linda Blakely set off from Gran Canaria on January the 20th and spent just under 8 weeks rowing across the Atlantic, 3,000 miles, reaching solid ground on Thursday. She joins us now. Hello, Linda.
Hello, hi.
How was it to reach solid ground after that amount of time?
Oh, it was so good, especially when the last day was so hard. Usually that row in, when you hit the waypoint, the north of Barbados, it's just about 3 hours. Because of the very rare weather conditions I landed in, which happens like only 10 days in the year in Barbados, it took me 6 hours of really, really hard pulling, and I really thought I wasn't going to get in. And actually, I couldn't get into Port St. Charles. So to stop the clock, I had to literally beach the boat. So I just had to head for land, and I had to touch land to stop the official clock. So I just rowed onto the beach and jumped out, and my legs were like jelly, so I fell over. A big wave pushed me up the beach. My shoes came off. It was a very dignified landing.
For sure, you got there, and that was the main thing.
I did. I just wanted to stop the clock running, to be honest, and I was like, I have to touch land somehow.
So tell us about the experience. When did you decide to do this in the first place?
It was a couple of years ago, and after I climbed Everest, my mum's promised me, well, made me promise not to climb any more mountains. So then I thought, okay, well, what'll I do instead? I thought I'll row an ocean, then I just thought, yeah, why not row the Atlantic? And I thought I quite like to do it solo. And then I thought I'll raise some money while I'm at it, and it just kind of snowballed.
What did your mom say when you told her you were going to row the Atlantic instead?
I didn't tell her for about a year and a half. So actually, she wasn't too bad. I think in her old age, she's mellowed a wee bit. So I
Also,
told
she's
her I
probably
did.
like, I know, Linda, there's no point me trying.
Yeah, I know. I told her I had a support boat with me. So I told her a little white lie, but that was just to make her feel better because I didn't have any support boats with me at all. But she thought I did.
Yeah, this was an added little bit to your challenge. So you did it completely independently. Did that make
I
it
think
any more difficult?
Yeah, well, I wanted the speed record, you see, which is 40 days, but and in the race, the world's toughest row official race goes at a time when you don't get the best of the trade winds. So that's why I hung back to go on my own. But then I got rubbish weather, and actually, even the race got it's been rubbish weather the whole year in the Atlantic, very, very messy. A lot of fronts. The winds haven't formed right. Even the current was going the wrong way at times. So, if the Atlantic Ocean was a wine, it was not a good year.
That's not very helpful because you can't really control it, really, can you?
Yeah, but it should be more consistent than what it was.
Okay.
It was really, really not what it should have been weather-wise. So you got to take what you get, and like you said, it's an uncontrollable. So, but unfortunately, it was a lot worse than what the weather should have been.
I was listening to an interview that you did, I think just before you left, and you were saying that it was about the journey and what you could learn about yourself throughout it and where it was going to take you. Was there anything that you did learn about yourself or find out about yourself?
Yes, I've learned that I'm scared of the dark.
It would get
I
pretty
don't.
dark out there, to be fair.
The nights are so dark. You can't see the waves. You can't see, like 3 foot away, you can't even see them. You can just hear them. And I capsized on day two, and it was the nighttime. I didn't even see the wave coming. So I didn't much like that experience.
No, how did you manage to get yourself back upright?
Well, I felt the wave was immense, that just this massive smash on the right-hand side. I rolled the boat over. My first instinct, because I was wearing my life jacket, because conditions were so big when I set off, that usually you don't row with your life jacket on. But because the weather was so big at that stage, I thought, okay, I'm going to put my life jacket on here. And it wasn't that long after it. So my first instinct was my life jacket blew up in my face. And I've never had a life jacket go off before. So that was a new experience. And I thought, oh my goodness, my life jacket's gone off. And then the second thought was, oh, I'm in the water.
Oh dear.
And so then I realized my boat was coming around too, because she self-rights after a capsize. She came up really quickly, and
Great.
I was just able to scramble in over the handrail. And then I threw a drogue out the back to just slow the boat down a little bit and hold the bomb into the waves so that she'd ride over it a bit easier. Because, like I say, in the dark, you can't see where the waves are coming from. And early on, moving away from the islands, the sea's really confused because it doesn't know which way to go with all the islands. So yeah, that was a tricky section. They say, and I agree with, the worst bit, the landing day and the first week are really the toughest.
And then when you're out there, I suppose it's, as they say, smooth sailing, reasonably bar the waves.
Well, yeah, it's very up and down, and I had a lot of beam on conditions, beam on weather, wind and waves, and you're fighting to keep to go away the boat doesn't want to go, because the boat naturally wants to go the way the wind and the waves are going. But I had to do a lot of beam on work, which isn't really that fun and isn't that smooth either. It's quite rocky.
Yeah, what does that mean?
So the wind and the waves are literally hitting the side of the boat, and the
Right.
boat would want to run like a current in a river. You know, a little boat would like to run the way the waves are going and
Yeah.
run with the weather. But I had to go literally perpendicular to it, to stop going into other worse weather, other fronts, and yeah, it was just. Yeah, to stop me being pushed north, I had
Yeah.
to try and keep going south to start when I really wanted to go west. And then when I was able to go west, the weather turned to push me north.
Drivers. That would require a lot of strength, but you've done a lot of Ironman as well, so you were well able for it.
Yeah, the physical part of the journey was no problem, really, no problem with the rowing at all, and I managed the boat really well. I do think the worst thing was the mental frustration of not getting the weather that I really wanted, because I trained to try and have a go at the record, and to not be given the chance with the weather, I find really, really frustrating to deal with at the start.
You also celebrate a birthday while you're out there.
Yeah, when I left, I was 49, and when I arrived, I was 50.
did you celebrate, or could you mark it in any way?
I had the best day ever. I actually had the worst day and the best day on my birthday, because I was fighting. I had all that beam on stuff, so I had to do the graveyard shift, is what I called it. It was the one between midnight and 3 a.m., and that was a really tough one. And so at 3 a.m., I was sort of having a bit of a breakdown, thinking, it's my birthday. I've just turned 50. I'm out here battling everything. It's not going the way I wanted to. So I had a little moment to myself. And then I went in the cabin and had a couple of hours kip. And then I came back out on the oars again, rowed another few hours. And then I got to about 9 o'clock in the morning, and I thought, right, I'm going to have my birthday celebrations now. I had some cards with me,
Lovely.
and had a funny poem from a friend, and I had a fruit cake, and I also had a little bottle of Lanson, so a little 20 centiliter bottle of Lanson. So I had my birthday, and I had some praline chocolates as well, so I had a great time.
Lovely, lots of treats.
Yeah, they were good. I did enjoy that had been my first little champagne in quite a few weeks, so that went down rather nicely.
Is there anything you'll miss about it?
I missed the simplicity, and it was very, life brought back to such basic eat, sleep, row, and just keeping myself alive and keeping the boat going in the direction. That there's something rather beautiful in that. You know, life was very basic, and that was quite nice, to be honest, yeah.
So you managed to raise £100,000 for
Yeah,
Action
I think
Medical
I'm at
Research.
110 now, something like
Amazing.
that.
Wow. You must be proud. That's amazing.
Yeah, I'm very proud. Action Medical Research is such a fabulous charity, and the people, David and Sarah, who run it and are on the ground managing the events, they're so lovely, and they've been really kind and very helpful to me. I've been very lucky to be invited to some great events as well. So for me to do my best fundraise for them, I've just the fact we got the target, I'm so over the moon, because it was a big target. And everybody who's donated, I've just been so thankful, you know, because everyone's added in the little bit that they can. and it's all added up to a great amount. And so I just couldn't be more over the moon than I am. So pleased. And also with the support from everyone as well. Like, I had a social media guy managing my Instagram and my Facebook account while I was on the water. And I could get my stuff to him through WhatsApp. And so he was able to put it on there. And
Brilliant.
he, on my birthday, he managed to download the messages from Instagram and sent me all the messages
Oh.
for my birthday. And especially after I'd had such a bad moment at 3 a.m., to read those, people have just been amazing with the donations and actually with the support, mental support as well. It's just been great.
It can really make the difference, I think. People can be very kind.
Yeah, it has done. And the amount of people who said that I've inspired them, for being an older woman who's 15, I'm doing my thing. I'm not letting anything stop me. So I don't care what age I am. I'm proud to be 50. That people who've said that I've inspired them, it's really nice. It's so lovely.
Have you any more plans yet for another challenge, or are you kind of giving it some
Oh,
time?
yes. Oh yes, the next one is the Mountain de Sable. So, because then I'll have climbed a big mountain, I'll have rode an ocean, and I'll have run a desert.
Excellent. When's that?
That's going to be next. I think it's in March. So registration opens this May. So that's the
Unbelievable.
plan next March. Yeah, Mountain de Sable in Morocco, running across 250 kilometers, running across the sand dunes of the Sahara.
Unbelievable. Well, we'll catch up with you around then, so.
Yeah.
Linda Blakely, thank you so much for chatting to us.
Oh, lovely. Thank you. Thank you, Louise. Thanks.